us who have been born again, we can worship and praise our God. We can worship and praise our God. Father, we do thank you for the blessing, the privilege to be able to call you Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. Thank you for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you that we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Jesus, for you told us you would never leave us. No, never leave us nor forsake us. You'll always be with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who's in us, who dwells in us, who has sealed us until the day of redemption. He leads us into all truths. He convicts us of sin. He empowers us. So we thank you, dear God, for your Holy Spirit who is in us. Thank you, dear God, now for this. Thank you for the worship experience thus far, dear God, the songs that have been sang, the scriptures that have been read, the prayers that have been prayed, the opportunity to give. So now, dear God, I pray that this time, the preaching of the gospel, the preached word, that you would indeed use me, your vessel, dear God, to be a mouthpiece for you, Father, and that your words, dear God, will fall on good soil, dear God, that you would give all of us an ear to hear, and not just an ear to hear, but a willingness to do what thus said the Lord. Thank you, dear God, once again for this worship experience. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for the choir on Wednesday night after Bible study. You know, I was driving home and man, it was raining hard. I could barely see. And then I saw a little later on Wednesday night, Sister LaShonda was sending texts to everybody, making sure everybody got home well. So while I was driving in the storm, they were practicing in a storm. They were practicing in the storm. So we thank the Lord for their commitment to the Lord and practicing, even though it was storming outside. And thank the Lord for all of you saints who serve and use the gifts and talents that God has given you. That's another blessing as a born again believer. God has given all of us gifts and talents. And if you're not using those gifts or talent, I'll say it real bluntly, you're in sin if you're not using the gifts and talents that God has given you for his glory, for his glory. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, and I'm going to read, you know, God is awesome. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And as I was going through my Beatitudes series, I always asking God what series, what do you want me to do next? You know, sometimes he gives me two or three series at a time, sometimes one at a time, and but he kept saying, you know, you're going to do a series on suffering or persecution. And I was like, okay, Lord, I guess so, since you're saying that. And this was weeks and weeks ago. But now, beloved, you all know that we here at Love Fellowship in the last 2 weeks or so, we've seen a lot of saints go through a lot of medical issues and illnesses and suffering. So the Lord has a word to say to all of us the next few weeks about when we go through things as followers of Christ. And so I've going to start out with this classic book of Job, Job chapter 1. I plan to do two sermons on Job and then look at the life of Joseph and then go to 1 Peter in this series. But I'm going to read all of this, all 22 verses, and I'm going to preach it. It's a narrative, so I'm not going to preach, like, expound on each verse like I normally do, but I kind of give an overview of this. So don't get too nervous and excited. Now, it's about 22 verses. It's going to be a long time. Now, it shouldn't take. Should be about my normal length, I think. I think. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Listen to this. This is amazing. I don't know about you. Many of y'all probably read this, probably studied it, probably heard it preached on before. But this is an amazing chapter that I'm about to read. Listen to this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest. Somebody say greatest. He was the greatest of all the people in the east. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his own appointed day. And would sin and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would sin and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Verse 6. Then there was a day when the sons of God, angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came. Somebody said the devil. Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. The devil said, I've just been cruising around on planet earth. Then the Lord said to Satan, listen to this. Have you, devil, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, the devil says to God, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will, Job will surely, God, surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters, Job's sons and daughters, were eating and drinking while in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God, kind of like lightning, the fire of God fell down from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, kind of like a tornado, and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. That's a tough day. Let's see how Job responds. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. Fell to the ground and worship. And he said this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord give it, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. I'm going to preach from this thought. Worship God in your storm. Worship God in your storm. Worship God in your storm. Subtitle might be praise God through your pain. Praise God through your pain. You may be seated. Worship God in your storm. As I alluded to earlier, this week at Love Fellowship, last two or three weeks, probably in my 14 years as your pastor, I've probably seen more physical illness attack our local body than I've ever seen before. I mean, just last week we had a heart attack, had a stroke. Prior to that, had a couple of surgeries, and prior to that, had a brother had to go to Vanderbilt. I mean, just on and on and on. And those are just physical illnesses. But I bet if I took a poll, some of you are going through some other type of suffering, some other type of illness. It may not be physical. It might be something financial. It might be something mental or emotional. But a lot of those things have been going on here at Love Fellowship. As a Christian, instead of what the prosperity preacher would have you to believe, you and I, as followers of Christ, we're going to go through some tough times. You're going to go through some illnesses. You're going to go through some sicknesses. You're going to go through some tough times in your marriage. We're going to go through tough times. But as we go through those tough times, I want to encourage you as well as challenge you, still worship God, still worship Jesus as you go through your tough times. Because they will come. If you haven't been through one yet, they keep living. They are coming. Part of this whole mindset is this word called theodicy. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot that down. Theodicy. T-H-E-O. Theo means God, of course. T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y. Theodicy. 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 And what it basically means, listen to this. Theodicy means basically it's the defense of God's goodness and omnipotence in view of the existence of evil in the world. Let me read it again. It's the theodicy. It's the defense of God's goodness and his omnipotence in view of the existence of evil in the world. In other words, it's us saying, as Christians saying, God is still good. God is still all powerful, even though we got some jacked up stuff going on in the world. Even though we got all kind of evil, all kind of mass shootings, all kind of gang violence, even in our own lives, all kind of illnesses, we say as Christians that God is still good. God is still in control of everything, in spite of what it looks like sometimes. So it's a defense of God's goodness and omnipotence, even though you got evil in the world. It's that age-old argument that many of us have heard. Why does bad things happen to good people? Why does bad things happen to good people? Again, as a Christian, we're saying that in spite of all this, we're saying God is still good. God is still loving. God is still just. God is still merciful. In spite of all this stuff that's going on, when we hold on to that fact that God is still a good God. And this morning, as I read earlier, this Old Testament saint by the name of Job is going to help us with our theology. He's going to help us with this area called theodicy. Well, look at verse 1 as we jump into this. Verse 1, like I said, I just read all 22 verses. So I won't read all the verses again. In verse 1, if you're taking notes, Job was a man who was blameless, upright. He feared God. He reverenced and respected God, and he shunned evil. He hated evil. Job was a man who was blameless, upright, feared God, and hated evil. Let me read it again. Job was a man who was blameless, upright, feared God, and hated evil. That's a real good resume. That's a real good description. What does your description sound like? What does your resume look like? But Job was blameless, upright, feared God, hated evil. In other words, Job was a true worshiper of God. He had a true, genuine, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Job is a true disciple, a true follower of Christ. He's an authentic believer. He's not someone I just come to church or just say I know God. He's a genuine, authentic follower of Christ. He had a daily mindset of, I want to live holy today. But Job still endured suffering, although he was a holy man. Now, of course, Job wasn't perfect. He wasn't sinless, but he was an upright man. He had a mindset of pursuing holiness each and every day. As a follower of Christ, that should be your mindset and my mindset. You know, be careful with your mindset. Be careful with your thoughts. Don't wake up saying, well, I'm just human. I know I'm a sin today. I got a sin today. No, you need to be waking up and say, hey, God, I'm your child. I belong to you. Help me to live holy today. Help me to walk like Jesus today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit this day. And then when I do sin, quickly convict me that I might repent of my sin, confess my sin, and turn back to you and begin to walk anew. You need to be saying, hey, I can live holy today. Start out by, I can live holy for this 1 second. I can live holy for this 1 minute. I can live holy for this 1 hour. I can live holy because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Holy Spirit is inside of me, so I can live holy. We got to have the right type of mindset. I mean, we followers of Christ. We ought to emulate Christ. We ought to imitate God. So Job was a holy man, a righteous man. And the Lord tells us to be holy. God says it this way. He said, you be holy, for I am holy. Thus said the Lord. So in verse 3, we see that Job has it going on. He had this brother had all kinds of 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. I mean, he had all kind of stuff. He was rich. Let me say it like this. He was rich. If they had like Fortune 500 magazine like they do today, Job would be in the top 10 or may even be number one of the richest person in the world. The Bible just said he's the richest man in all of the East. So Job was rich. He was rich. You know, God has people on all economical levels. Job was rich. But also Jesus in Luke 16 tells us about a man by the name of Lazarus who was poor financially. He was poor. Lazarus was. He was poor materially. He didn't have a lot of stuff. But watch this. He was rich toward God. When he died, he ended up in heaven. So God got rich people who follow him. God got middle income people, upper and lower middle income. He has poor people financially. He has people on all spectrums. Because listen, Rodney just prayed earlier. All the silver and gold belong to God anyway. You know, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he also owns the hills too. I mean, but God has people on all ranges. I mean, if you watch some of these TV preachers, some of these radio preachers, and I'm not saying all of them are bad, a lot of them are good. But many of them, especially with the prosperity gospel, would have you to believe, if you got enough faith, if you love the Lord and come to church enough and read your Bible enough, you would be rich. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. Lazarus, Luke 16, read that sometime. And Jesus even said, you will always have the poor with you. You would always have the poor with you. Listen to this. Ariana just read a book called When Helping Hurts, and she gave me this stat. So if it's not right, talk about the author of When Helping Hurts, but this book. But this is an amazing stat, and I believe it. The author says that 40%, and that's 2.6 billion, 40% of the world's population, listen to this, talking about Jesus said the poor will always be with you. 40% of the world's population, 40% of the world's population, that's 2.6 billion people, live on less than $2 a day. Say that again real quickly. Roughly 40% of the world's population live on less than $2 a day. I mean, there's a lot of poor people. And all those people are not unsaved. Some of those people are Christians. You go to some third world countries that I talk to different missionaries and stuff. And a lot of people who love Jesus, just don't have any money. Are barely making it. But even with that being said, God does give us a promise. He said he's going to take care of his people. The psalmist said it this way. He said, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen a righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, the psalmist said, God's going to take care of his children. He's going to take care of his children. Matter of fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear. Jesus said it. He said, because your father in heaven, he's going to take care of all that. He's going to take care of you. So Jesus, don't worry about all that. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who does provide. Can I get a witness right there? He's the God who does provide. Provides us with health and strength, provides us with a job, provides us with all we need. So Job, as we hasten on, Job in verse 5, we see that Job, if you're taking notes, Job was not only a righteous man, Job was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. This is a good note for all of us, but definitely parents. We need to cover our children and grandchildren, cover them in prayer because they aren't any different from us. Most of them going to do some crazy, immature stuff while they're growing up. So we need to pray for our young people, our children, our grandchildren. Job, even though Job was a righteous man, he said, hey, look, my kids, they've been partying. They had this party. They invited everybody over. And I need to pray for them because they might have sinned against God. So Job would pray for them. He was a praying father, a praying dad. He took serious that whole challenge that God gives us, brothers, to be the priest of our home. You know, I often talk about the four P's that all of us should strive to do as men in the house. We should try to be the priest of our home. We need to be praying for our wife, our children, our grandchildren. We need to be praying for them. Also, we need to be the prophet of our home. We need to lead them in study of the word of God. Talk to them about God. When we get up in the morning, when we lay down at night, we need to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also need to be the protector of our home and also the primary provider. So Job took all that serious. Job did all of those things. Once again, he was a righteous man. Job was a bad boy. He was a righteous man. So Job, everything is going on. His life is great. He had all kind of stuff. You know, he's rich. He has a big family. He's a godly man. He has a nice portfolio. Got a lot of net worth. All this, his life is blessed. His life is great. His life, everything in his life is going well. Somebody say, but. But we get to verse 6. We get to verse number 6. And Satan shows up. The devil shows up. The prince of the power of the air, he shows up. Lucifer, the fallen angel, he shows up. And it's amazing. He still has an audience. He still has an audience with God. Even though he's been evicted, he's been kicked out of heaven, God still allows him to come with the other angels and come before him. This devil, I mean, things were going good for Job until the devil showed up. Things were going good for Adam and Eve until the devil showed up. Things might be going good in your life and in my life until the devil shows up. I mean, Jesus said it this way. He said, the devil has only come but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, that would have been kind of tough verse if it stopped right there. Jesus said, the devil has come but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And not just materially, but a life that's purposeful, a life that's meaningful. Jesus said, the devil has come for one thing and I've come for another. So let me just use this word, I don't use it loosely. You're a fool if you choose to follow the devil. All he's come from is killing, stealing, and destroying. I choose to follow Christ. I want a life that's meaningful, a life that's purposeful, a life that's more abundant. So when the devil, beloved, when the devil comes to entice you, he's a tempter, when he comes to tempt you, when he tries to lure you away from our God, resist him. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Listen, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, when he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, I heard Minister Bray allude to that this morning during blast. Let me make a quick announcement. Church does start at 9:30. We have Sunday blast. We have individual classes the first Sunday of every month. We have one class. I want to encourage you to come at 9:30 to Sunday blast. Oh, it's getting quiet in here right now. The Sunday blast was supposed to say it, preacher. Folks that are not coming say, hey, Pastor, you didn't quit preaching. Now you're going to meddling now. But I just want to make that announcement in case somebody misses that. But when the devil comes against us, beloved, let's do like what Jesus did. When Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, the Bible says when the devil came against him, every time, you all remember this, I have some Bible readers in the house. Every time the devil came against Jesus, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. So Jesus gave us the pattern, gave us a plan on how to defeat the devil. Just bring the word of God, bring the book out on him, bring the Bible out on him. It is written. Don't try to fight him in your own strength and your own resource. You'll lose every time. You got to say, it is written. You might say, I'm defeated, devil, but God said, I have the victory through Christ. You might say, your weapons can work against me, but I'm saying, no, God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to use the word of God against him. That's what Jesus did. I mean, the Bible warns us about this guy called the devil, Satan. He masquerades like an angel of light. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's tricky. He's crafty. So don't be ignorant of his schemes. Grandma used to say, don't give him a ride because then he'll want to drive. You get that joke of one inch, he try to take a mile. Let me balance this real quickly. I did this on Wednesday night. The devil, he's our adversary. He's a foe. He has a lot of power, but he's not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. He's not omniscient. He's not all knowing. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all at the same time. No, so let's quit blaming the devil for everything. You know, you out there try to crank up your car and your car won't start. Oh devil, he messed up my car. He ain't out there letting up the hood on your car and trying to disconnect your battery or something. That's what I'm blaming for everything. Some people are blaming for everything. Devil brought over in the corner and said, I take credit for it though. I didn't do it, but I take credit. So some people try to blame him for everything, but then some Christians take another extreme and act as if he does not exist. He does exist. But make sure in our mind, it's not like God and the devil going at it, and God hits him one time, and the devil hits him again, and they going at it. No. The devil is God's devil. So the devil, we see it right here in the text, the devil is God's little devil. He's a defeated foe. That's not giving too much power. That's not use that Flip Wilson Geraldine philosophy. Oh, the devil made me do it. Now, the devil can't make us do anything. As a Christian, the devil can't make us do anything. It's the flesh, the flesh. This world system, the devil can tempt us and entice us, but they can't make us do anything. It's the flesh. I often say this. When I get up in the morning, Brother Rodney, I see my greatest enemy. That joker I'm looking at in the mirror, that's my greatest enemy right there. It's flesh, not the devil, not Satan. They are our adversaries. So the devil, we see in Job, I just read it earlier, he has to report in to God. He can't just arbitrarily run rampant against the people of God. He has to report in to God. Y'all just missed a good place to say amen. He has to report in to God. Jesus, in the Gospels, Jesus told Peter one time, he said, Peter, be careful, Peter. Satan has been asking to sift you like wheat. But he said, Jesus, I'm going to pray for you. And basically, Jesus said, after you stumble, I'm going to pray. And you're going to get restored, and then you can go and strengthen your brethren. So the devil couldn't get to Peter unless the Lord allowed him. The devil couldn't get to Job unless the Lord allowed him. Let me get 21st century. God, the devil can't get to you unless God allows him. He has to get permission from God before he can touch a child of God. Let me say that one more time. He has to get permission from God before he can touch the child of God. See, as a child of God, as a child of the King, that should bring you some comfort right there. For our King, our God, our Savior, he is sovereignly in control of all things. He got it all under control. Once again, the world thinks, okay, the world is all out of control, all this stuff happened. No, God has it all under control. He's still on his throne. He's still high and mighty. He's still high and looking wide. The earth is still his footstool. So in the midst of this thing called theodicy, when we have to, in a sense, the defense of God's goodness and his omnipotence in the defense of all kind of crazy stuff going on, we got to, once again, as the people of God, we got to shout out to the world that we still serve a good God. In spite of, we still serve a good God. Matter of fact, the book of James tells that every good and perfect gift comes from above. If you got something that's good, guess what? It came from God. If you wake up in the morning, you feel good, guess what? It came from God. If you lay down at night and you're feeling good, guess what? It came from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Comes from God. Psalmist tells in Psalms 105, says over and over and over in different places, our God is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, Brother Jim. See, your life and my life as a servant of God should scream out that our God is still good. Our God is good. But we do live in a fallen world. We do know because of Adam and Eve and their disobedience in Genesis chapter 3. We do know they opened up the door. They did. And allowed sin and evil to come in. Adam and Eve did. But we still know in the midst of that, in Romans 8:28, we know that our God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Joseph said it this way when his brothers came who had sold him into slavery. Brother Joseph said it this way. He said, what you all meant for evil, God meant it for good. Grandmama theology again. Grandmama said, God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight line. Our forefather had some good theology. It might not have been an exact Bible verse, but it's some good theology, you know. But think about it, saints. Many things in your life and in my life that the enemy, the devil, meant it for evil, but God turned that thing around and ended up being for our good and for his glory. God turned that thing around. That thing that should have taken you out, that thing that should have been the end of you, God gave you victory over it, and now that thing that was a terrible thing, now that thing that was a terrible test, now it's a testimony. It was a test, but now it's a testimony. That thing that should have taken you out. I often go back to this, and you all have heard me say it before, in 1989, when I was still unsaved, and I remember getting in my little new car, little 89 Honda Prelude. If y'all remember, those were kind of small. And I used to didn't wear my seatbelt too much then. Just talking about how God can take things that you go through and turn it around for his glory and for your good. The Lord spoke to my heart and mind real clearly. Put on your seatbelt. I said, man, I don't usually put on my seatbelt. But I put on my seatbelt. And about 2 minutes later, I was over on 3rd Street going over that viaduct, that overpass. And I'm in a little 89 Honda Prelude now. And here comes a guy in a 69, Brother Tommy, a 69 Bonneville. I'm in an 89 Honda Prelude. He's in a 69 Bonneville. You know, 89 seats deep, you know, made out of pure iron. And lo and behold, he was in my lane. And so I'm looking and I'm kind of tripping out, really. And so I started hitting my brakes. He kept coming. He hit me head on. He didn't have on his seat belt. He broke his hip and broke his foot. But because I had on my seat belt, by God's grace, I wasn't even hurt that badly. I had to go to the hospital, though. I had to get a few stitches in the knee, and I was sore. I had to go to rehab. But once again, here's something rough that happened, and God used that for his glory and for my good. I would never forget it. In 1989, I grew up in the church, but I was unsaved. It dawned on me right then, that in the moment of the eye, Minister Bray, my life could go before me, and I could die and end up in hell. So I promise you, after that, I began to try to, quote-unquote, get back right with God. And by God's grace, he used that tough thing, that tough time in my life to turn my life around and draw me to himself. So I look at, I'm glad I had a high head-on car collision. I'm glad I ran in that head-on and totaled out a car, because through that, God drew, that was one of the things he used to draw me to himself. So sometimes, saints, we go through stuff for God to draw us closer to him. Sometimes we go through stuff just because, like Job, he wasn't perfect, but he was a righteous man. He was upright. But sometimes we go through stuff just because that's part of life. Sometimes we go through do stuff because there's some things going on behind the scenes that we don't really know. We're not privy to. But once again, rest assured, for the child of God, everything that happens in our life is for God's glory and ultimately for our good. You can leave here resting in that fact today, that everything I go through is ultimately for God's glory and for my good. Now, sometimes we go through stuff because of our disobedience. I mean, God said, I will discipline those whom I love. So there are many reasons we go through stuff. But when we go through a storm, I want to encourage you this morning, just keep worshiping in your storm. Worship while you go through a storm. Praise God through your pain. That's what Job did. And so they go on with their conversation in verses 7 through 12 as I hasten on. God said, have you considered my servant Job? God brought Job up. Job is the center of the conversation. Not because the devil brought him up. God brought him up. God said, since you're going to and fro, have you checked out my servant Job? And God said the same thing in verse 6 verse 1 said, God said, he's upright, he's blameless, he fears me, and he hates evil. And look what the devil said. To paraphrase it. The devil said, well, God, I mean, is he good? Is he good for no reason? You've given him all this stuff. I mean, he's rich, and I mean, you've protected him. Everything he does prospers. And a matter of fact, God, you got a hedge of protection around him. Now that ought to make us rejoice right there. There's a hedge of protection around Job, and obviously the devil had been trying to get to him, Sister Candace. He'd been trying to get to him, but because God has a hedge of protection around him, he couldn't get to him. When I was reading and studying it, I couldn't help, I kind of like sci-fi stuff. I couldn't help but to think about like Star Trek and even Lost in Space and you know, Lost in Space, when they would land, they'd put around a force field. Star Trek, sometimes somebody's shooting at them, they put a force field around, and you're shooting at them, but you still can't get to them. Why? Because they got a force field around them. That's man's technology. Because even on the movie, even on the TV show, every now and then you keep shooting in the same spot, eventually you can penetrate the force field. But check this out. God's hedge of protection around us, God's force field around us, cannot be penetrated unless he allow it to be penetrated. This is not something to make us act arrogant, but we can walk in confidence that, listen, nothing can happen to the child of God unless God allows it. So in a very real way, it's like we are indestructible unless God allows things. Let that sink in. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. Let me say that one more time. Nothing can happen to you or me unless God allows it. Let me say that one more time. Nothing can happen to you or me unless God allows it. The devil said, man, I've been trying to get to Job, but you got this hedge of protection around him. And then the devil said, God, if you take that stuff from him, he would curse you to your face. He would curse you to your face. Because the devil said, the only reason he's serving you is because of the stuff. All reason he's serving you is because of the protection. Remove that protection and he'll curse you to your face. As I thought about that, how many of us really only serve God because of the stuff? really only serve God because, well, I know God is kind of protecting me. How many of us only serve him for, you know, ulterior motives? You know, you and I should love and serve God. We just sang it just because he is God. We ought to serve him and love him because he saved us. He protects us. We ought to serve and worship him just because he is God. That's enough. But think about it. If you need a little help, worship and praise him because he rescued you, rescued me from eternal damnation. Saved us from the lake of fire. Saved us for hell. And if that doesn't get you excited, if that doesn't make you say, thank you, Lord, I don't have anything else for you. He saved us from eternal damnation. He did. Jesus, we ought to worship him because he died for our sins. We ought to worship Jesus because he reconciled us back to a holy God. We ought to worship and serve Jesus because he redeemed us by his shed blood on the cross. We ought to worship and serve God because, listen to this, he hears and answers our prayers. We ought to worship and serve Jesus because he prays for us. He's at the right hand of God the Father, even right now at the left hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. He prays for us. So we ought to worship and praise him just because of who he is. We ought to worship and praise him because, well, here it is. He woke us up this morning. I know we hear this kind of like a cliche, but it's the truth. He woke us up this morning, gave us reasonable health and strength, allowed us to even make it out here to the house of God, gave us clothes to wear, food to eat. We ought to worship him because he's a great provider. He is a great provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. We ought to worship and praise him because of just who he is and what he does for us on the regular. On the regular. So verse 12, God listened to the devil's rhetoric. And God said, okay, devil. Verse 12, okay, you can go ahead. Take all of this stuff. Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. But listen, but don't touch his body. Don't mess with his body. Again, that's another good place to get excited. God gives the devil restrictions. And he knows how much you and I can handle. Let me just hit the button and fast forward ahead real quickly. God knew that Job could handle this. See, I haven't had a Job day because I can't handle it. I couldn't handle it. You haven't had a Job day either. You couldn't handle it. But God knew. God said, I know the way that he takes. Job even said that later on in the book. God said, I know Job. I know him personally. I know he can handle this. I know when I allow you to take all this stuff from him, he's not going to curse me. God knew that. See, the devil, once again, he's not omniscient. I told y'all that a little earlier. He doesn't know everything. He thought, okay, if I take all this stuff from him, Job, he's going to curse God. Now, that might have happened with the last 5 or 10 people, but that's not going to happen with Job. The devil doesn't know everything. So God gave him permission to touch Job's stuff. And then in verses 13 through 19, everything literally, all chaos breaks loose. One thing after another. I read it earlier. In verse 14 and 15, some renegades come and steal Job's oxen and donkeys and kill all of his servants except one. So this one gets away and goes back to tell Job that. And before he could tell Job that, he talks about how the other one comes and said, hey, a fire came down from God like lightning and fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants. And I'm the only one that could get away. Then before that report could finish that good, that guy could finish that good. Here comes another guy and says, hey, thieves came and took your camels and killed your servants. So I'm the only one who could get away. So in rapid fire, Job lose all of his oxen, all of his donkeys, all of his camels. He lose most of his servants, all in just in one day, just in a few hours. So Job financially went from the penthouse to the outhouse. It's kind of the equivalent of the stock market crashing and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Oprah Winfrey losing everything they have in like one day. Job lost everything. So, but if that wasn't bad enough, he lost all that he had. He gets another report. He said, Job, a great wind, kind of like what we would call a tornado, a great wind came and blew down the house that all your 10 kids were in, killing all of them. So Job loses all of his possessions, most of his servants, and now he loses all of his 10 kids. What a catastrophic day. What a horrific day. What a terrible day. I mean, have you ever had a Job day? A Job-like day? I know not to this magnitude, but all of us have had some rough days. I mean, maybe you had a rough time on your job on Friday or last week. You had a rough job at the office that day, or a rough job in the factory that day. And then you get home, and then even your own dog growls or barks at you. In our case, it would be Gracie, our dog called Gracie. You say, man, this is not a good day. And then you get inside, and then the kids are just going crazy. And then your husband or your wife is not even consoling. And then you start looking through, I'm talking about a Job-like day. Then you start looking through your mail and you get a large, unexpected bill. And I don't know about you, when I get something with IRS on it, I get a little nervous, like IRS, the government, you don't know what they're trying to do. And then you look on through your mail and then you go to the doctor I'm just talking about a Job-like day. You went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago and you're waiting on some reports from your doctor and you open it up and the results are not too good. And then you get a call from your parents, your aging parents, and something going on in their life. Just a Job-like type of day. And so all this stuff is hitting you. All this stuff is hitting you. You say, man, this is just too much. I got to get out of here and go to the store and get me some chips and something to drink or something. But like Coke or Sprite. Let me make sure. Yeah, like Coke or Sprite, you know, something like that. Yeah. We're going to leave it at that. Yeah, Coke and Sprite. Make sure I'm clear with that. Brother Chris, make sure I'm clear with that. Sister Kayla, I want to make sure I'm clear with that. And then you get out, get ready to get in your car, and you look, and your car's on flat. A Job like that. Then you say, well, at least let me get a little peace, get in my car, and listen to my radio or something. Put it on, not Power 94, but on Moody Radio, Bible, good Christian listeners or something. And then you get in your car, and you turn your key, and your battery is dead. And on and on and on. It's a Job type of day. So all of us have had bad days. So my question for you and for me is, what happens? What do you do on your bad day? Because see, it's easy for us to praise and worship God while we're in here. It's easy to praise and worship God more often on a good day when things are going well. It's easy to praise and worship God then. What do you do on a Job-like day? Because see, Jesus said it, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might. Jesus said, you, in this world, you will have trouble. But I love how Jesus often put two things together. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he says, but take courage. Take courage, for I have overcome the world. Oh, that's good news. Jesus said, stick with me. You're going to have some trouble down here on earth, but stick with me. And I'll show you how to navigate this thing called life in this fallen world. Once again, since Genesis 3, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. So again, what do you do in that season of your life when just nothing seems to be going right? I mean, everything seems to be going wrong that season. Maybe not just a day, but a season of your life. What should you do? What should I do? Well, Job gives us a sneak preview. Job gives us a great, great example in the text, in the Word of God. After Job had gone through all that stuff, after he lost all of his financial holdings, after he lost all of his lifestyle, after he lost most of his servants, after he lost all his 10 kids, let's look and see what Job did. Talking about worshiping God through your storm. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and did what? Wait a minute. Job, he didn't complain. He didn't shake his fist at God. He didn't say, God, why all this happening to me? You mean to say he worshiped after all that? He gives us what you and I should do when we go through these tough times. It's not always easy, obviously, but Job said the Bible says Job worshiped. He worshiped God. So when things are falling apart around you, when things are unraveling, when things are going wrong, maybe on your job, maybe something medically, maybe something in your marriage, maybe finance, whatever it is, when nothing seems to be going right, the world is caving in on you, that's a great time to worship God. That's a great time to worship God. That is. So, Tamara, that's a great time to worship God. Let's look at the content of the worship of Job, and I'm almost through. This is what Job said. This is the content. See, our worship, first it needs to be sincere, but you know, it needs to have some substance. This is the content of Job's worship. He said to God, he said, our God and his God, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job basically said, God, you gave me all this stuff, and you decided to take it away. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to worship you. Your name is still blessed. I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed coming out. I'm blessing your name if I got a lot of stuff. I'm going to bless your name if I don't have nothing. So that's a good page we can take out of Job's book. Job said, I didn't come here with nothing. He said, as an old saying goes, you know, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Job said, all this stuff don't belong to me anyway. That's why that's a good lesson for you and me, beloved. We need to hold stuff loosely. It belongs to God. That car I wrecked and towed out in 1989, that belonged to God. I had a friend, a strong Christian man. He's with the Lord now. And you know, one time, either it was him or somebody else, maybe they were in an accident, you know, messed up the car real bad. He said, just something. Well, God, I don't know why you wanted your car to be wrecked, but you know, there it is. It's wrecked. Everything belongs to the Lord. You know, we say that, but I think we need to keep rehearsing that, because we say that, but our actions and our minds don't always really think that. But everything does belong to the Lord. That's what Job said. Job had a lot of stuff. Remember, he was rich. He had a lot of stuff. But he said, God, I'm not confused. I came here naked. I'm going to leave here naked. You gave and you take it away. Blessed be your name. But Job would tell us, in spite of what we're going through, still bless the name of the Lord. So whatever you might be struggling with this morning, saints, still bless the name of the Lord. Still praise him and worship him. Young people, I know summer is here, but when you're having a rough time in school, or maybe this summer is not quite going right, I gotta pick with my buddy now, little Justin. I asked him this morning, he raised his hand. I asked him this morning, I'm gonna tell off on you, Jay. I said, how's your summer going? He kind of shook his head. So I said, man, what? It's summertime. He said, well, I'm going to Hardy to the camp. But he said, all we do is work, work, work. School, work, school, work. He said, work, work, work. He said, it's a rough summer. So, young people, if your summer is kind of rough because of working, just still praise the Lord. Still praise the Lord. You know, friends might be turning against you, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, things might be going rough financially. You might have more month than money, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Parents, even when your kids are not quite on the right path, still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. When chaotic things are coming into your life, still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe you haven't gotten that job promotion that you rightly deserve, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends might have forsaken you, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks might be slandering your name and gossiping on you, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The enemy has come against you, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm still going to worship and praise my God. You may not know how you're going to make it, but still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hymn writer said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. So bless the Lord. Praise the Lord when you're going through situations. Praise him through your pain. Worship him even when it doesn't seem logical to worship him. Worship the Lord. See, here it is, saints, and I'm about to finish. Your worship, my worship, should not be conditional. Should not be conditional. It shouldn't depend on what's going on in my life. If I got a lot of stuff, I should worship it. If I got a little bit of stuff, I should worship it. It should not be conditional. Matter of fact, it should be unconditional. Again, anybody can praise God on a good day. But Job says, and the Bible says, praise God anyhow. Praise him through your pain. Worship God even in your storm. Matter of fact, Job would tell, worship God even when you're worrying. Worship him when you're weary. Worship him when you're going through a storm. Worship the Lord. Praise your way through your problems. And then verse 22, as I let you go, verse 22 says, in all this, all that Job had gone through, losing all his financial holdings, losing all of his livestock, losing most of his servants, losing all his kids. In all this, somebody's in all this. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In other words, he kept his faith. He kept hoping God. He put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though things looked rough, even though he was going through a tough time, Job said, I'm still going to worship my God. He worshiped through his storm. He praised God through his pain. So worship God, saints, even in the midst of going through. That's one thing about going through. You are going through. This too shall pass. It has an expiration date on it. Now it might be the day you leave earth, but it has an expiration date on it. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be next week, next month, next year. I don't know. But it does. I promise you, it does. It does, Brother Jimmy. It does have an expiration date on it. It has an expiration date on it. So worship God in the midst of your storm. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today.